And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down with some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This one, this show goes like from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean, oh, the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn. Straight across the line from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning, and then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. All y'all radio folks. Then there's all you guys that are live streaming the show, looking in the studio like right now. Live streaming the show on places like X, YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, and our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then, oh, by the way, you podcasters who catch it after the fact, I say all that to say we can clearly see where you are. We love the fact that you're there. No matter how you catch the show, it means the world to us. So thank you very much. You're the reason why we do what we do. Hey, all right. This is that time of the week. It is, actually, it's not. We're a day late. We're off cycle. But you know what? We couldn't pass up the opportunity. So every Thursday, typically on Thankful Thursdays, we bring in some people we're thankful for. Well, I wasn't here yesterday. So I checked with the two, and they said, yeah, let's do it on Friday. So let me call the roll of the Butters and Lee segment. Looking northward to Huntsville, the dynamic diva of dilatory discourse, Lee from Huntsville, are you there?
I'm here.
You are indeed. You like the introduction? That's always good. The dynamic
that was
diva,
really
dilatory
nice.
Discourse.
And you then, got a thesaurus.
That's right. I did. And then right here in studio, silky smooth yet rough as a cob. Go Navy, beat Army, he likes to say. Butterman, how are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing great.
You're here.
Always happy to come get a free cup of coffee.
Free coffee.
And in the week right here.
With your limited edition Right Side Radio hat.
Oh, yeah.
I had somebody yesterday said, how do I get one of those hats? And I said, well, those were one-offs. Well, yeah. Two-offs. There's a two-off. All right, you guys. That means we got a quorum. Hit me some whoop-whoops. All right, Butters and Lee, let's do this. All right, I'm going to keep the theme going. You guys know what the topic is, I'm sure. But let me ask you this. In the wake of Charlie Kirk's death, let me ask you, how far is too far in calling for people to respond? I mean, I'm hearing, you know, I see some people out there saying, time to light them up. I see others out there going, can't we all get along? And somewhere along the line, there's the fine line to walk. How far is too far in calling for people to respond to this situation? I'll go Lee first.
How far is too far? Well, I think right now is not the time for Democrats and those on the left to start immediately calling for, you know, conciliatory, oh, let's reach across the aisle. As Ann Coulter once said, the only reason I want to reach across the aisle right now is to slap someone. So I don't think that's wise. And I don't think it's the time to call for it because they realize and they know deep down they feel guilty, because when you call people Nazis and fascists and words that have real meaning that don't apply to these people, when you call Charlie Kirk, who's from all accounts a kind, considerate, very thoughtful person, Nazi and fascist enough, something like this can happen. So I think that there has to be some acceptance of responsibility, or I can't use cuss words on this show, but they can, you know, they can just pound sand. I'm not interested in immediate screeches of, you know, being conciliatory with each other, because, you know, that's not what would be happening if this shoe was on the other foot. They know that nobody expected, you know, Wendy's or McDonald's to burn, right? Because
right.
This happened to Charlie Kirk. No one expected cities, you know, no one was boarding up anything.
Yeah.
They have that tacit knowledge that nothing like that's going to happen. But you put it in reverse, my God,
yeah.
The whole U.S. would be on fire.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is they take for granted that we won't do anything. But I think they're going to find that we are going to do something. It's just going to be a different form. But the worm has turned. Things have changed.
Butters was shaking his head at one point. I'm not sure which point that was now that I think back on it, but Butterman, your thoughts. How far is too far in calling for a response to the death of Charlie Kirk?
So I'm shaking my head. I agree with the hope in the sentiment from Lee that they know, but I vehemently disagree. They don't know. That's the point. That's the problem. They don't understand why it's so stupid to call them fascist.
Oh, I get it.
And they are continuing. And I think in the wake of this, the reaction
so
is almost,
they lack the self-awareness to even know.
Yeah. I think so. How far is too far? Obviously, taking up arms is too far.
Okay. Point.
But
of course.
But that being said, I'm at least in this moment, you're irrelevant to me now. If you want to argue politics, let's just go vote. Let's put some. I'm here to win. And no, we're not trying to work together because you're not trying to work together. And when you keep using words like fascist, I'm done listening to you. It is not an intellectually honest discussion. It's not worth my time. Hmm. Maybe I've just been doing this too long, especially in the wake of 9/11 yesterday, really had me thinking a lot about this.
Yeah.
I don't care what you have to say anymore. So that's great. You want to call me a homophobe, you want to call me a transphobe, whatever you want to do, don't really care. I don't have any interest in talking to you, at least not right now. So the response, I don't know.
Yeah, and I think you make a great point. I would add to that, we're not the ones who left the conversation, if you get down to it. We're not the ones who left the conversation. They're the ones who killed our guy. They're the ones who ended the conversation, if you will. And so, to your point, the damn the torpedoes full steam ahead mode is, I think, where we're going to be. And I don't believe that's a call to violence. I don't think you're going to see riots in the streets. I wouldn't be a bit surprised to find some candlelight vigils turn into marches. But I don't think that's bad. But I do believe there's going to be a groundswell here that people are not going to soon forget what was this. What just occurred?
Oh, I think this is very much a turning point, and we were talking off air, but this, I don't remember the closest thing that I remember in my life is 9/11 and the feeling of the sentiment of what's going on.
Yeah, let me ask you this: you and I talked about that briefly off the air. This is not a question that I had thought through and planned on, but does this one feel bigger? Does this situation, Lee Butters, does this feel bigger than when Trump got shot? To you? Lee, you first.
Yes, because I accidentally came across that footage, not meaning to, the really bad footage.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Do not, anyone who's listening to me, look that up. It's the stuff of nightmares. But Phil, it's, I'm sure, something you might see in war.
Yeah.
And it's, I feel like that we're at a point where, I mean, 9/11 was awful, but we kind of came together as Americans, but so much of it wasn't right up in your face. There wasn't filmed. It wasn't that image will be forever burned. Like, you just can't get it out of your head. And I think that's why it's been such a game changer. But to me, yeah, there's big pivotal moments, like 9/11 and Trump getting shot, but Trump, thank God, it nicked him, and he stood up and he did what every red-blooded, honest American was like, that, yes. He like stood up and was like, fight, fight. That, it was such an immediate, oh, thank God, that it didn't have the same effect. We all knew they tried to take out our president twice, but having this god-awful assassination, it's just worse.
So Butters, your thoughts, is this bigger to you or your opinion than what we saw with Trump?
Well, I'll answer this way. If you don't mind me going too far off the rails, since we're already off the rails.
Okay.
As I listened to the young lady that you interviewed from University of Alabama with TPUSA,
yeah,
it kind of occurred to me and listening, sitting here with JP, is this kind of a 9/11 moment for Gen Z? Is this their 9/11 moment that marks puts a milestone in the course of the Gen Z life?
JP's nodding his head.
I would say absolutely. I mean, I wasn't alive for 9/11. I wasn't alive for MLK. I've never experienced anything like this. Somebody that my generation has watched since we were in middle school, I've literally watched Charlie Kirk since middle school, and having to see that, I feel like I knew him personally. So yeah, I would say this is my generation's 9/11 right now. 1000%.
I haven't even, and I apologize, I have not even asked you this.
Yeah.
But is Charlie Kirk somebody who you followed and leaned in on what he had to say over the last few years?
100%. To the point, I mean, he was a staple. I said it yesterday. I still feel like I'm going to go on Twitter and see Charlie Kirk, a video of him debating some purple-haired liberal on a college campus, and it go viral, or him tweet something, you know, a scripture that hits perfectly at the time. It's just, he became such a staple, you expect to see him almost every day doing something powerful. And now that that vacuum is there and he's gone, it's unbelievable. Yeah.
Okay, so last question. We got about 2 minutes. I'll go you first, Butters. Do you think this is, and you said a moment ago, so I think I know where we're headed here. You said you think this was Gen Z's 9/11 in terms of its impact and that kind of stuff. Do you think that this is going to be something that causes what I would call a batch of new Charlie Kirks to rise up from that generation?
Absolutely. I think it's, you're already seeing it. People that don't normally talk about politics, I'm seeing posts all over the place, and a lot of people that are taking that sentiment of like, I no longer care. This is what I think. And if you're, you know, if you're out there celebrating, you are worthless. I do not, we're done. And I think there's going to be a lot of rise up, and there's going to be sadly, or potentially, a whole lot less tolerance than what Charlie Kirk was willing to give.
So your thoughts on that, Lee?
I'll just tell you that my 18-year-old son, who's never been interested in politics one little bit, was asking me about it. We talked about it. And then he just looked at me and said, well, I'd rather die for a lie than stand for nothing.
Wow. Well, okay.
And I was like, that's 18 years old.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think they're coming. And I think this has been an awakening.
Well, that's huge. And listen, we got to take a break, but that's round one. That was a very engaging round one. All right. Butters and Lee, we'll come right back. This is where we flip the script. They ask me questions, and I just hope I have an answer. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Man, just pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. All right, we're going back to round two of Butters and Lee. By the way, the text lines are open, 833-687-4448. Later in the show, I'm going to be catching up on a lot of text messages. So you guys go ahead and give me your input, 833-68-RIGHT. All right, this is the section of Butters and Lee where they ask me questions. So I'm going to go to ladies first, to the dynamic diva up there in Huntsville. What you got, Lee?
So George Orwell's prophetic novel, 1984, a quote, it was always the women and above all the young ones who were the most bigoted adherents of the party and the swallowers of slogans. How true that is. And I was watching a video today of a purple hair nose ring. She was videoing herself, her dad speaking off camera in another room. And he's asking her about this. And she's basically saying, well, he deserved it. And the dad, you can hear, is shocked, saying, what? And he's saying, why would you say that about someone who's just doing a debate? And she's like, well, if you say bad things, you just, you know. And he said, do you think they deserve to die? And she said, yes. And you can just hear he's crushed in his voice. I blame teachers, radicalized teachers in high school and in college. Your thoughts?
Okay. So, wow, a lot to unpack there. I would say, first of all, that dad being crushed. First of all, I'm glad he was crushed. But secondly, he's probably questioning whether he was a bad parent the entire time, because his daughter apparently grew up with a complete lack of ability to empathize and to recognize right from wrong. But that being said, yes, I think that there has been a breakdown in what I would call the moral fiber of the education environment for quite a while, to your point. And that has been a big, big deal. We took prayer and God out of schools, and we got what we got. And we let teachers' union have more sway over the things than parents. So I'm not going to lay all the blame of it on that, but I do think that that's been a factor. It's one of the sociocultural factors that has contributed to what I would call the delinquency of an entire generation. Now, I will also say this. I think social media is a lot to blame. Social media is a petri dish of everything that can go right and wrong. It's not like, I mean, first of all, free speech means I don't have to always agree with it, right? But sometimes people get out there, and just because you think it doesn't mean you should say it. Just because your inside words are inside words doesn't mean they should become outside words or that anybody should want them to. But once they start festering, it's like a wound. It's like it's some kind of necrotic tissue just starting to eat away. And I really do believe that social media has created this environment where anything goes, anything can be said. You don't have to have any more decorum in life, no more maturity. Mm-hmm. And that breakdown of social discourse has been a big deal. And then lastly, I will say, before I run out of time and go on a diatribe here, I would also say that there's been a complete movement away from, not entirely, because I really think we're almost in a period of revival, but I think there's been a movement away from God, where even in the past, when I was growing up, even at the very least, people were great respecters of God, whether they were Christians or not. Now, not so much. Now it's like, I loved growing up in a place where when the football game was starting on Friday night, they stopped for prayer and people took their hat off. I know not everybody in that crowd was a firm believer, but they were at the very least a society that was a great respecter of God. And I think we've lost a lot of that over the last couple of decades. So, wow, that was, you got me going on that one, Leister. Yeah, I got to go to Butters before I run out of time, though. We got about 4.5 minutes, bud.
Can I just real quick?
Yep.
Counter to the social media thing is the opposite problem is the particularly older generations that aren't listening, and all they're doing is listening to mainstream media and dad's reaction of not understanding. If you're not consuming, there's no legitimate source now other than getting on the internet. So anyways,
can I add to that real quick though?
Of course. It's your show.
Thank you. I did hear the story of a judge one time in a domestic dispute, and he was dealing with a dad who wanted custody, but he didn't really have a strong relationship with his daughter. And the judge said, "Do you text, sir?" "No, sir. I don't do that kind of thing." "Well, you'd better start. Because it's not about whether you communicate that way. It's about the fact that they communicate that way." And I thought that judge had it like nailed. What he basically was saying was stop being insular of what you grew up with and realize if you want to relate to them, you have to go where they are.
I've had that conversation with multiple clients on the marketing side of things.
I'm sure that's true.
Talk to your customers the way they want to be talked to.
Exactly. All right. What you got for
me? The shot heard round the world. As a comment I heard about this assassination, and on the heels of that, Tommy Robinson is having a gathering in the UK tomorrow, I believe.
Okay.
I've been seeing that kind of stuff. What influence do you think this has globally? What impact does this embolden the UK and others in Europe?
Yeah. In fact, I saw like a group of Maori tribesmen from New Zealand doing one of their, is it called a haka in Great Britain, which is the place where free speech is like dying right now. I think what you're going to wind up seeing is it's going to advance the calls for an allowance of pure social discourse. I think it's going to give people a sense that was so wrong that I now have to make sure we have more right. I do believe that. It's a fallen world, but we're not a world that is without redeeming value. And I do believe that there's going to be a pressing in of people to say, we want more of what Charlie Kirk was advocating, and the fact that he was willing to go there for it, put himself out there and die for it, means we can't waste this moment. That's my sincere hope. I really think that's going to happen. Well, that was an awesome half hour. That flew by. That was Butters and Lee, and I'm glad we did it. Usually on Thursday, today on Friday, Butters and Lee. Love you both. All right, you guys, listen, we're taking a break. We'll come right back. We're going to break the routine and do a little JP on sports. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.